On Saturday, we'll celebrate Christmas. And we look around and see all the pretty lights and the decorations, and seems like a magical wonderland. However, Christmas doesn't remind me of something magical. Rather, it reminds me of something miraculous and supernatural. The birth of Christ. In this season, we often talk about the spirit of Christmas, which usually means an atmosphere, or it refers to good times. It also refers to the spirit of giving and goodwill, and many different ones, many different families have different traditions that they do every Christmas. Our family does. These traditions, they create a certain atmosphere. And while all of this is part of Christmas, we need to realize that God wants us to have a great Christmas by celebrating the birth of Christ. You know, I want to read you something that Stuart Briscoe said. He's a Christian author and a pastor. The spirit of Christmas needs to be superseded by the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christmas is annual. The spirit of Christ is eternal. The spirit of Christmas is sentimental. The spirit of Christ is supernatural. The spirit of Christmas is a human product. The spirit of Christ is a divine person. That makes all the difference in the world. You know, that statement should get us all to thinking. And it's great that we can enjoy in the natural and have all of the things that we do in the natural. But we never can let anything supersede the Spirit of Christ. Thank God for the Spirit of Christmas. But the Spirit of Christ is more important. It's at this time that we celebrate God bringing forth His Son. Some, you know, you can get in all kinds of theological discourses and arguments over dates. And somebody was trying to argue me one day, and I just looked at him straight in the face and said, I don't care what date it is. This is the date that I celebrate the coming of the Christ child. You know, sometimes we can get ourselves in a confused state because, well, we say, well, this didn't happen at this time and this didn't happen here. Well, maybe it didn't, but this is what we are celebrating. I know when you go to Israel, they say this is where it was, this is where the shepherd's field was. And from everything they can ascertain, they think it is, but nobody knows for sure. Because there's nobody around that was there then. You know, I was talking with some ministers the other day, and I was going back and relating all the way back from the 40s, because I was born in 39, and I was relating all of the different ministers I knew personally, all of the different moves of God there had been up to the present hour. And one of them said, hey, you need to sit down and write that down or do a video or something, because you're one of the few ones left that can tell us all about that. I thought, well, that don't make no difference. I don't know, you know, I don't need to be somebody. But there's nobody that can really tell us that the place of the skull is the real place. Nobody can tell us if that garden that we go to is the real place and the real tomb, but it's close to it. And that when I go there, that's what I celebrate, his resurrection at that tomb. When I went to Bethlehem, which you can't go there right now, the way things are politically, but we went, and we went to the place, the shepherd's field, and we went to the place that they think where the stable was. And that's fantastic. But whether it's the places or not, let us remember the supernatural work of God that took place when Christ was born. Wherever it was, whatever the date was, this is the time I choose to celebrate Jesus Christ's birth. The birth of Jesus was prophesied all the way back at the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3:15, whenever they had sinned, God said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The psalmist prophesied it. The prophets prophesied it. Thousands of years before Christ came. But as the timing grew closer to when he would be born, more detail was given. Micah 5:2 says, But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, through you, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from the old and from everlasting to everlasting. Right there, the place is revealed in Micah, several hundred years before Christ was born. In Isaiah, he gives the details of who it will be. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then in Daniel, we even get the time frame. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but know therefore and understand that from the going forth to the command to restore the build the temple in Jerusalem unto Messiah, the prince, and you know, there I'll go ahead and read it. There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, and even the troublesome times. This is an incredible amount of information that God gave out before the coming of Christ. He was trying to get his people ready to receive. Some did and some didn't. And then we go to the New Testament and see the supernatural bringing forth of the Christ child. In Luke 1:26-28, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee called named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Be blessed, you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. Of the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Now, here we see that the prophetic message of the coming of Jesus, going all the way back to the beginning and coming through the Old Testament till we get to the New Testament. We see here now what Isaiah said coming to pass as God, the angel, appears to Mary. This is beyond man's reasoning. We can't even fathom this in our wildest imagination. But God did. God planned it. As you study the life, the early days of Jesus, God outmaneuvered the enemy as he tried to kill the baby Jesus. You can read that. He organized the events of the Old Testament, and they came through the prophecy until we get to the New Testament, and there is the fulfillment. We can see then how Mary and Joseph were protected from ridicule. We can see how God supernaturally protected this family. And we need to realize that God had a plan, and it was put into action supernaturally. We need to understand that he has a plan for all of our lives. And if we believe, like Mary did, then God will move by the miraculous power in our lives and provide all that we need. And as he outmaneuvered King Herod, as he tried to kill Jesus, he'll do the same thing for you. The Christmas story is great, but we need to take encouragement from this and realize that the same supernatural God that orchestrated all of this from the very beginning of the Word of God until the birth of Jesus is the same God that is your God and your Heavenly Father. And that same miraculous power is still available for us today. You know, if God moved supernaturally in historical times, he can move supernaturally for you today. If God protected and moved supernaturally for Jesus and Mary and Joseph, he can do the same thing for you. If he moves supernaturally in one place ever, he can move supernaturally where you live. It says in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One to be born and will be called the Son of God. Here we see that first of all, at this supernatural moment in history, that the angel appeared to Mary and she hears the message and she hears what will happen. This is far beyond her natural comprehension, because she asked the angel, she said, I know no man. And he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive. Let's look at several things that happened when the angel came and these words were spoken. She heard the word of God. She believed the word of God. Yes, she had questions, but she didn't argue. She simply asked a simple question. God doesn't mind you asking questions if you'll listen to his answer. She listened to the answer that the angel gave, and she didn't doubt the word of God. She may not have understood it. She may not have fully embraced the idea of what the Lord was saying, but she said, let it be to me according to your word. That right there should reveal something to us. When God speaks, even when we don't understand it, we should say, like Mary, let it be to me according to the word of God. You know, sometimes we need to just stop and realize what a life-changing event this was for her. What a life-changing event it was for Joseph. But they both came in line with the word of God and said, okay, we believe the word. And because of her response, the plan was set into action. We need to learn from Mary when we hear the word. Let faith come in her heart. Like it did her. She heard the word. She said, I don't understand it, but I believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. She believed the word. Mark 11:24, we all know it. Therefore say to you, whatever things you say, ask in prayer, when you believe, you receive them and you'll have them. Thirdly, she spoke the word. She said, let it be according to the word. And of course, Mark 11:23 tells us, for surely I say, whoever says the mountain, but so be them removed, because the seed does doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. When we get to that point, like she did, this allows God to move supernaturally in our lives. This opens the door for the supernatural. You want the supernatural? Hear the word of the Lord. Believe the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord. And watch the supernatural happen. When you do as Mary says, let it be according to the word, the blessings come to your life. That simple statement, let it be to me as the Word says, will cause life-changing experiences to come to your life. Think about it for a moment. The Holy Spirit came upon her. That's the same Holy Spirit that lives within inside of you. Greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. That same Holy Spirit that was there, that is the power part of the Godhead, was there with them, leading them, guiding them. Remember, Joseph was awakened in the night, and they got up and they fled from Israel because of the decree of the king. Remember that story? Who was it that directed that? The precious Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that is here with us today. That same Holy Spirit that brought forth the Christ child. That same Holy Spirit that was there when he died upon that cross. And it says that that curtain, when he died, that curtain in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. That was probably the Holy Spirit that grabbed a hold of it and ripped it apart. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. That's just me. But in all of this, I want us to remember that the Holy Spirit was involved in all of this. That same Holy Spirit wants to work in your life today. He wants to give you life and liberty and happiness and joy and peace. That same Spirit is at work in our world today, until Jesus returns. So, let us expect no less in our lives than what happened in the day that Christ was born. The Holy Spirit will move on your behalf anytime you believe and speak the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I simply, for a few moments, just wanted to remind these people that the precious Holy Spirit, the one that was involved with all of the birth of Jesus, is the same Holy Spirit that lives with us and wants to give us life and wants to give us protection and power and strength. Help us all to realize and thank God for the Christ child. But he's not a baby anymore. He lived, he died, he rose again, and he's a king sitting at your right hand. And because of that, we have the right to come into the throne room and say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you happen to be in this place,